Genesis chapter 12, and as you well know, just by way of repetition, we're studying the covenants, and this is a great way to study, the Bible, is in this fashion. In other words, we have been over the Edenic covenant. We talked about that. We learned a whole lot about that. Of course, the Adamic, the Noahic. And then tonight we're going to talk about the Abrahamic covenant under Abraham. So what we've had, in Genesis 3 all the way to Genesis 7, you have that Adamic covenant. Of course, again, just a way of reminder, it doesn't stop where it continues on. I give you the same illustration or the same example I give you every week, the Noahic covenant. The rainbow. We're still under that same covenant today. Every time you see a rainbow outside, you know there was a covenant made between God and man, not only just Noah, but mankind, that God will never destroy the earth with water ever again. And so we're still under that covenant. And so there's other ones as well, but anyway, that suffices the illustration. All right, Genesis chapter number 12, and let's look at the Abrahamic covenant under Abraham. And let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord, I've got it up here for you. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, notice his name was Abram. God hadn't put Ham on him yet. So forget it. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. That's happened, right? And I will bless thee. That's happened. And make thy name great. That's happened. And thou shalt be a blessing. And that has happened. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, let me give you these things. There's like seven parts of this covenant. Let me give you. He's going to make him a great nation. He's going to be a blessed nation. Going to make his name great. He says, thou shalt be a blessing. He says, he's going to bless them that bless you. Curse them that curse you. And all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, when you look at all of this, God tells Abraham, and if you'll look at the screen there, let me see if I've got Ur of Chaldea, Chaldeans. This is modern day Kuwait, the Persian Gulf. I think the Persian Gulf is right down here somewhere, and you see Babylon, Mesopotamia, you see the Euphrates River, the Tigris River. Right here is where he was. God says a part of this covenant. Now, this is important. It may not sound important yet, but it will be. Abraham, I want you to get out of this land. I'm going to bring you into a land that I'm going to show you. God's going to give the nation of Israel all of this land. But first, Abraham, you've got to get away from your family. You've got to get away from everybody. Come out from among them, I guess you would say, and come into a land. Now, of course, he didn't go across the desert like this. But anyway, he went all the way up around in here and wound up over here, and here is the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, there's a place right here called Mount Moriah. That's where he offered his son Isaac, Genesis 22. That's the same place where Jesus was crucified. Ain't that something? Abraham offers his son Isaac, remember, takes him up on the Mount Moriah, and when he gets up there, there's a ram caught in the thicket. He gets his son Isaac off and sacrifices the ram. Well, guess what? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, our lamb, took our place. We got up off of the sacrificial altar, and Jesus took my place at the same spot. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. But anyway, that's where he winds up, and God says, I'm going to give you this land. That's part of the covenant. Now, notice, all right, let me do this. I've showed you this before. This is, all right, those of you that are watching online, you're not able to see my little red dot. But this whole triangle-looking thing is the land that God promised to the nation of Israel. That is their land. It's found in Genesis chapter 12. I'll give you some more verses here in just a minute. This is the total land grant that God... This is a part of the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? The nation of Israel only has this little portion right here today. So God intended... He told Abraham, he says, get thee out... Y'all see, there's Kuwait right there. Abraham's down off in here. And get thee out of thy land. He comes up around here, goes around... comes down here to the land of Israel. And he says, I'm going to show you this land. As far as the Nile River to the Euphrates River. Let's see. The Nile over here in Egypt. The Nile River. Euphrates River runs this way. Nile River runs here. All this land, as far as you can see, is yours and your seed and their seed after that. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Let me ask y'all something. A great nation. Nation of Israel. Genesis chapter 12. A nation that's got its start. Let me ask you this. Where's the Roman Empire? Not one. Where's Great Britain? Ain't none. Where's America? We hadn't been thought of yet. You getting a picture? The nation of Israel, a nation that is all through the Bible, that the United Nations, there's 191 countries, 191 nations that meet over there in New York in the United Nations building, and they hate this one nation. Let me prove my point some more. Maybe you got some German in you. Can you name the first German? Who was the first German? Nobody knows. Who was the first American? Who knows? Who's the first Italian? Everybody's proud of their heritage, right? Ask them who was the first one. Now let me ask you this. Who was the first Jew? Abraham. A nation that can tell you who its founder was. Amen. They hate this nation because of that. Let me look at this. Let's see. We've got all of that. Let me look right here. Look at 13. You're in Genesis 12. Look at 13. 13 and verse 14. 13 and verse 14. I don't think I put this one on the screen for you. 13 and verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look to the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, your seed forever. You see, I'm going to give it to your seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Y'all know how many dust. Little particles of dust is on the earth. You can't count them. That's how many, the nation of Israel, that's how many children they have. You can't count them. Let's see, verse 16. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. You know anybody can do it? Can't number them. Verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar unto the Lord. Remember I told you, let's see, where did Hebron go? Let's see, right there. Let me get my map back. Remember I told you, he left the Ur of Chaldees right here, and there's Hebron. That's where he went. And he built an altar right there unto the Lord. Now, here's something else I've got to show you before we move on any further. Oh, my goodness. So much information. Let me show you this. I may have the verse. Let's see if I do. Genesis 14, verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the what? That is the first time the word Hebrew is used in the Bible. It's in Genesis 14, verse 13, and it calls Abram a Hebrew. Remember I told you a while ago, who's the first Jew? Abraham. Who's the first American? Don't know. Who's the first Italian? Who knows? Who's the first German? Nobody knows. Who's the first Jew? Abraham. I'll make thee a great nation. Y'all believe the Bible's true? It sure is. Every bit of that has come true. Let me show you this. He said, get thee out of the land and go. And I'm going to show you this land. Of course, here's another. Come on. Act right. Okay. There is another view of that. The whole Abraham's inheritance is right here. You got the Red Sea. The Nile River runs through here. The Euphrates River runs right up here. Here's where Abraham left. The Ur of Chaldees went over here and went to Hebron, so on and so forth. Now, here's something I'm fixing to show you. Very interesting. Y'all remember a place called the Garden of Eden? All right. If you can go to, you're in Genesis. Most of this stuff's in Genesis. I want you to go to chapter 2. I want you to look at something. Genesis chapter 2. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, Genesis chapter 2. Very interesting. You're going to love this. Verse 8. Genesis 2 and verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden. You have to read every word. Now watch what's here. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in where? Eden. Eastward in Eden. Eden is a big place. But He planted the garden eastward in Eden. Y'all see that? Every word's important. And there He put a man whom He had formed. And then verse 9 and verse 10 is where we get to. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, from whence we were parted and came into four heads. This thing splits off into four rivers. The first one is the Pison, P-I-S-O-N. And then you have, let's see, verse 13. I think it's Gihon, G-I-H-O-N. That's the name of the other river. And then you have the Hiddekel, which is verse 14. And then in verse, the end of 14, you have the Euphrates. So there's four rivers that comes out of the land of Eden, or excuse me, the Garden of Eden. Okay? Told Abraham, get thee out of thy country and go into this land where I'm going to show you. The Garden of Eden was right here. You say, all right, this whole place is Eden. The Garden of Eden was eastward in Eden. Y'all understand that? Let me get me another map. There's the Persian Gulf right there. The four rivers that runs out of here. We know Eden's over here. This whole place is Eden in Genesis chapter 2. He planted a garden eastward in Eden. That whole place right there. God is bringing Abraham back to where Adam and Eve got kicked out of, to give them the land that He promised His people. Okay, some of you just, you know, scratching, going, okay, I mean, watch this. Remember what I told you about the Garden of Eden? This Bible's coming full circle. Okay, Adam and Eve got kicked out, curse on the earth, the lion can't lay down with a lamb right now, and all this kind of stuff, kicked out, and this, that, and the other. The Abrahamic covenant says, I think this will start a nation that's mine, a nation that is my people. Abraham, you're going to be the first one. Your seed is going to get this land. And I'm going to bring you into that land and establish that land. Remember I told you we're going back to the Garden of Eden? The same place that Adam and Eve got kicked out of, we're going back to the same place. With who was king here? Adam. The first Adam. You ready? Who's going to be the king here? The last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15. It's an amazing thing. And so, there is nobody in the world, I've said this last time, there's nobody in the world can talk me out of believing that Bible is true. Everything that thing says is true. Those four rivers, they're right there. Okay. That's a little geography, but maybe you enjoyed it. Now we're going back to Genesis, I think. Let's look at, I've already showed you 13. I've showed you 14. His name's going to be great. Abraham has a great name. And he says this. He says, thou shalt be, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Let me ask you this. You realize this? That book right there, Bible you hold in your hand, was written by a Jew. 40 writers from Moses, who wrote Genesis, all the way to John, the Revelator that wrote Revelation. 40 different writers on 3 different continents over a span of 2,500 years, and they didn't know one another, and it all was put together. People say, how do you know the Quran? The Quran can't hold a candle to that. Muhammad's still trying to find a bowling ball in a bathtub somewhere. He can't come no close to that. Anyway. Now, Jesus came from that Jew. Came from the line of the tribe of Judah, which came from Jacob, which come from Isaac, which come from Abraham. The Bible comes. You'll be a blessing. They are. Bless them that bless thee. Curse thee that curse thee. All the families of the earth be blessed. Now, you're at Genesis, we were at 14. We read the word Hebrew. All right, look at 15. Genesis 15. And let's look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. In other words, tell. You say, all of this old English, I don't understand. Okay. A bank, what do you call a person that counts money? A bank teller. So, okay, bank teller counts money. So God tells Abraham, tell the stars. What's he asking him to do? Count the stars. See? And y'all, how many of y'all know Hebrew? You don't have to. Look now toward the heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And of course, he goes and makes an offering unto the Lord. Now, look at verse number 18. And this is what it says. Let's see. Verse number 18. I may have it on here. Don't know. This thing's acting up again. But we're going to look at verse number 18, okay? Hang on 1 second. Okay. Verse number 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant, there's our word, with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, here we go, from the river of Egypt, that's the Nile River. From the Nile River, the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. We've already said that. We've already saw that. And then we have something interesting that happens in 16. Because Abraham's going, let me just tell you this story without reading all these. You know the story, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Abraham says, now God, you promised all this stuff to my seed. Well, I'm an old man. Don't have any seed. Don't have any kids. Sarah, I'm about 100. Sarah's about 90. And it just ain't looking good for the home team, you understand? So they get together and they try to help God out. You understand? Y'all ever tried to do that? He don't know what he's doing. He don't understand. And so we're going to help him out. And so Sarah says, well, the lady that washes the dishes, her name's Hagar. She comes from the land of Egypt, Ham. The promised seed is going to come from Seth, not Ham, if you just know the Bible. And so Hagar, she's an Egyptian. She's from Ham. But Abraham, you go into her and have a kid with her, and that'll be your seed. Well, he does that. And his name is Ishmael. Now, how many of you know? Boy, I'm telling you. We've had problems ever since, haven't we? God says, Abraham, get somewhere and sit down. That's what it means. You jump in the gun, and all of this is found in 16. You just messed everything up. And so the problem that we have now, you've got the Arabians, you've got the Muslims and all of those that come from Ishmael, and they are, what, half-brothers to Jacob, or Isaac, rather. And so these two half-brothers are fighting over that land. That's the problem right there. That is the problem. That's why we have to go over there and do a peace treaty, and let's sign a peace treaty. Y'all give up some of this land to your half-brother here, and your half-brother says, we're going to kill you, and they've been fighting ever since. I'll show you some other things about Ishmael here in a minute. Look at 17, chapter 17 and verse number 9. And God said unto Abraham. Wait, I got to tell you about when he changed his name. It's verse 5. 17:5. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now here's an amazing thing. Over there in Romans, chapter number, was it 9, where it talks about the Holy Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is Father. Abba, Father. Ram, High. Abraham, High Father of the Jewish nation. And then verse 9, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me, you, and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, so on and so forth. Here's the token. Remember Noah? They had a token. Noah, the rainbow. All right? The Abrahamic covenant is sealed with a token. There's where they started circumcising the boys. 8 days old. Jesus, when he was 8 days old, went into the temple. That's what he'd go in the temple for. Those boys, 8 days old, they say that the reason they did that is because on the 8th day, the blood clots better. And it's medically, this book is way ahead. The book says circumcise them on the 8th day, way before science figured out that the 8th day was the best way to do it, because that's when the blood clots best. Of course, now they got medicine to, they can do it just about any day. But a Jew waits till the 8th day, according to that covenant. You say, why you got a covenant? Well, marriage covenant, a token. There's always a token associated with it. There's always a token associated with the covenant. Rainbow. Now we've got circumcision. All these boy babies, boy babies that are a part of the Jewish nation, circumcised, and that's, that's the token that God says to do. Now, look at verse 19, chapter 17, 19. And God said, Sarah, And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him. For how long? Everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him. Do y'all believe that? Now I'm fixing to show you something. Everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. That means it doesn't matter what Abraham does. It doesn't matter what Isaac does. It doesn't matter what Jacob does. It doesn't matter what King David does. That everlasting covenant will not be broken. God's going to give them that land. Amen. Everlasting means it can't be broken. Y'all ready? New Testament. John 3:16. God so loved the world. Gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. And people worried about, I wonder how long I'm saved. It says everlasting.
Amen.
You think God's going to break that covenant with Israel? He'll be a liar. God take my salvation away? That makes him a liar. Well, that ought to help you. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time, the next year, and so on and so forth. And of course, Isaac is born. Now here's, let's see, let me show you this. Let me look. We're in 17, ain't we? 19. Let's see. Look at. I skipped verse 20, didn't I? I read 19, everlasting covenant, verse 20. And as for Ishmael, here we go. I wonder if the Muslims have ever read this verse. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I've blessed him, and will make him fruitful. There's a bunch of them. And will multiply them exceedingly. There's a bunch of them. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a great nation. It is. But my covenant will I establish with who? And not Ishmael. You see that? Now, you may be thinking, well, what about old Ishmael? What about old Ishmael? Bless his heart. Let's see what happens to Ishmael. Look at 21. I think it's in 21. Yeah. Genesis 21, verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, talking about Ishmael, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? Where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. He's just not the promised nation. I'm going to make him a great nation. But he's just not the promised nation. Verse 19. And God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. She went, filled a bottle with water, gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, dwelt in the wilderness, and became a what? Archer. Y'all know what an archer is? Bow and arrow, right? Y'all not ready for this? Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, here, this is the Antichrist that's trying to duplicate. The white horse that Jesus rides is Revelation 19. This is Revelation 6. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. He was an archer. Ishmael's going to be given trouble all the way through the tribulation. All because Abraham and Sarah thought they were helping God out. The decisions we make today will affect the future of our kids. Became an archer. Let's see. What does 16:12 say? I got 16:12 wrote down for some reason. Genesis 16:12 about Ishmael. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. A wild man. Y'all watch the news lately? Wild. In the wilderness. So that's talking about people. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Get mad at him. I'm just reading it. Oh, let's see. There's a bunch of verses on it. Let me look at, I think I got this one on here for you. Genesis 35 and verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Now this is Abraham's son. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob is Isaac's boy. He said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but what? Change his name to Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. You see the line? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's not Abraham, Ishmael. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now, I'm trying to draw your attention to that Abrahamic covenant is still in effect, and they are going to get that land. Yes, Ishmael's going to show up in the tribulation period and cause his half-brother some trouble. Yes. But when Jesus Christ, the elder brother, somebody wave at me right there, the elder brother, the true elder brother, the bloodline elder brother, comes, second coming, wipes them out, and establishes his kingdom in the same area as Eden, the curse is lifted, and of his kingdom there should be no end. You say, How do you know that? Well, let me see if I got it right here. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Remember those scriptures? He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of who? Jacob. Forever, and of his kingdom there should be no end. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 boys, and the line that Jesus came from was Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why all this stuff is so important. And, you know, some of you may be saying, okay, look, what's this got to do with me? This is all Old Testament. Let me put a little New Testament on it. Galatians, New Testament. Apostle Paul wrote this one. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed everyone hangeth on a tree. That, now basically he said, Christ became the curse. The curse is going to be lifted here. Took the curse. The curse of sin is upon me. He took the curse away. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the who? You thought we were just talking about Jews, didn't you? Guess what? I can't get into that covenant by physical birth because I'm not a Jew. But I get in the blessings of that covenant by going through a Jew and being born again. So everything the Jew gets physically, I get spiritually. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ, a Jew, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is New Testament. Let's see, there's another one in Galatians. I don't think I got it on here. Let me look. I got to read this one to you. I think it's in Galatians. Galatians 4. Where was that? Oh, yeah. Galatians 4, and let me look at verse 22. I'll read it to you if you aren't there. This is New Testament. Galatians 4, 22. For it is written. It is written because we've been reading it in Genesis. It is written that Abraham had two sons. Yes, he did. The one by a bond maid, Hagar. The other by a free woman, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. And so on and so forth. Let's see. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Ishmael has been persecuting Isaac ever since. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. That's why God says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I get into that spiritually by going through Jesus Christ, and I get those spiritual blessings that the Jew gets physically. And I hope that makes sense. I can't get into that covenant. I'm not a Jew. I don't have, you know, I wasn't born in that physically. But I can be born again by Jesus Christ and get in on those spiritual blessings. And that covenant, all those things, there's a lot of other verses I could show you. But anyway, this thing is coming full circle. Just like I've told you, that land, everything we see on television, everything you see on the news, all of that stuff. Did you know, and I'm fixing to close, because sometimes I get a little aggravated and upset. Everybody talks about racism and racism and racism and race, this, that. Did you realize that the only group of people on the earth the news media don't care if you're racist against is the Jew? What's that stupid woman got a towel on her head? Looks like Ishmael. And that whatever her name is, Senator, and whatever the wherever the stupid area is where the stupid people that voted for her that got her up there. I don't never want to live there. And she gets up there and starts running down them Jews. Nobody says a word. Racist remarks against the Jew. News media, get after them. They deserve it. Let that be about another group of people. Oh, my word. They'll crucify you, get your job, get your bank account, get the IRS after you. But you can talk about you all you want. But guess what? There's coming a reckoning day. Amen. Understand that. And believe me. Now, I say all that. I'm not for, you know, racism on any group. But my problem is, it's almost like religion. Any religion in the world is fine as long as you don't bring up the religion of this Bible. You start bringing up Jesus Christ, we got a problem. Now, if you want to pray to Muhammad in school and all of that and get your carpet out at 5 o'clock and turn it toward Mecca and all of that, it's totally fine. You've got freedom of religion. That's what America's all about. You tote this into school and open it up on your free time at the break table or at the school lunch table, and you see what happens. You see how much freedom of religion you got. This is the country we're living in today. And all we can do is pray like John. Surely, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.